Ian McIntyre, Sportsnet Canucks insider, here joins us on this Monday morning. Best of the season to you, sir. IMAC?
Hello, fellas. Nice to be on with you. It should matter, because I think the team has a chance to win more games if it's not playing 56 road games or something that feels like 56 road games.
I would think, though, this will be a moving target. I mean, if they're told they can't play here and have to spend the first couple of weeks on the road, I would think at some point they're back here.
Well, it would seem that way, and certainly should be that way, especially in relative terms. Like, if you're trying to make sense of how this works in Canada with COVID going on, well, look at the COVID rates in Toronto and Montreal, and Quebec mm-hmm. has been awful from the start. You know, tremendous amount of cases and tragedy there from the start. Alberta was good for a while. That's why the NHL went there in the summer. And now they are far worse than BC in terms of, you know, cases per capita and deaths as well. And yet if the NHL is able to play in those jurisdictions because they come to agreements on protocol with their provincial health officials, then you would think that the Canucks should be able to come to some agreement with provincial officials here. But, you know, that wasn't the case in June when the cases were much lower. So we'll have to wait and see. It is going to be, I think, a divisive argument. Because who among us is going to say that hockey is more important than people's health? It isn't. We know that. And I got the sense, especially through the summer, that people here in BC were really proud of how our Dr. Bonnie Henry and other officials had handled this. That said, right now you or I can get on a plane and fly to Toronto. We can fly to Montreal, we can go to Edmonton and Calgary, and nobody's testing us for COVID before we get on a plane. The way the NHL is going to travel with chartered aircraft, so they completely control their own environment as they're traveling, they have a protocol in place where you're basically going to be at a rink or you're at your hotel. Guys aren't going out for dinner in old Montreal when you're playing the Canadiens. The food is coming to the hotel. The players are going to the rink. Then they're going back to the plane after they play their two games and flying to Toronto or Ottawa or home. So the players are not going to be out in the community. Well, we can go out for dinner. I mean, there's a guideline in place. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much enforcement there is, but we can go to Montreal and act like a tourist. If we want. And so the NHL is actually, as far as I can tell, and granted, this is a superficial look, as far as I could tell, the NHL might be the safest place to work in Canada once the season starts. And on top of all those protocols, they're testing the guys constantly. Like the guys or players are going to be so closely monitored. Compared to the rest of us. So that's where I have a hard time with the argument that this is too risky to do and BC needs to stop, you know, control the spread of this terrible disease and therefore NHL can't play. I don't buy that.
Look, obviously there was something that the province of British Columbia saw in the summer that prevented this city from being a hub city for the National Hockey League when play resumed in the summer. I guess I'd be curious to see just how restrictive travel is or just moving around on the day-to-day for teams. Look, Major League Baseball pulled it off, and there were still positive cases. The NBA is about to tip off. There were positive cases as guys got back into training camp at the beginning of the month. The NFL's got through most of the season, and they've had a couple of speed bumps. But really, for the most part, I think the NFL's pulled it off by traveling all around. And look, the NHL's going to try to do this. I'm with you in a lot of ways here, Ian. I just think that you know, in some respects, when you got small business owners that are absolutely getting their asses kicked across this country right now with some of the restrictions that have been put in place, you got the province of Ontario that is reportedly set to go on full lockdown for the entire province on Christmas Eve. I guess the question is, and based on some of the rumblings that we've heard from Sportsnet hockey insider Elliot Friedman, what sort of options do the Canucks look at? So San Jose, the Sharks are going to start camp in Arizona because of the restrictions in the Bay Area. What options are there for the Canucks? So there's been some talk about Edmonton. Do they go south of the border? I'm guessing that's probably not going to be an option, but, you know, do they go to Fort St. John? Is that a nice, safe place? But, like, what are the options for them here?
I think the options are basically to go to another NHL city where they're allowed to play. And so Edmonton or and Calgary are the nearest, and the infrastructure in Edmonton is a lot better because you have obviously a beautiful rink with a ton of space, a practice facility attached to it, and hotels within, the Marriott literally is connected to the rink. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go outside. Now, as far as I know, the NHL is not operating a bubble anywhere. And I said that when the playoffs ended, I don't think the players will ever agree to go back in a bubble, not with the restrictions that were in place in the summer.
Yeah. No way.
But it, you know, proximity is still an important thing. So I think the Canucks would probably play in Edmonton, and that's, you know, nobody is going to be excited about that. You know, the guys back.
And Ian, there's no way they're doing what they did in the summertime. But I mean, on the table, and I think the PA has looked at all that, is the possibility if all the provinces say it's not going to work. And I think from a PR perspective, there's no way. You're right. In Ontario, they're going to announce essentially they're locking it down in the next 3 or 4 hours. I don't think you can step up, and Bonnie Henry will have to answer all the questions. And Dr. Henry will say, hey, right now it's not great, but January 8th was the day she gave, so it could be a different time by January 13th. But it is quite possible, isn't it, that if the provinces go, the numbers aren't good, and I know you're starting that, one of the scenarios out there is you will go back in that bubble for 2 weeks, and you're going to play yourself 6-7 games, and then you're going to head home for a week. Like, to me, there must be A, B, C, D, E, F, G of the scenario and how it can play out for the next, you know, 3 or 4 months with the NHL.
Well, it all depends, obviously, how many teams are in the positions where they're not able to play in their home province. Now, there's enough of them, and theoretically, you could have. We're talking about five provinces.
Yeah,
you could have all five theoretically, if all health officials in all five say you can't play. Well, where are you going to play? Can you play in Saskatchewan? Can you have an NHL bubble? I don't think that's really... You're right, Perry, in that they have to be thinking ahead here, and they have to be planning for several potential situations, none of which they know for sure. But I don't think the NHL is going back. I don't think we're going to see seven Canadian teams playing in one place or two places and just operating in a bubble again. I think in most of the country, I hope all of the country, the NHL teams are allowed to play. But I think the most likely thing is that, you know, the Canucks, if they're unable to play at home, I suspect they'll be the only Canadian team not allowed to play at home. And so they'll have to find another home. And again, for a variety of reasons, Edmonton is probably the most logical.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And Alberta's not shutting down.
Look at the World Juniors.
They can play whatever they'd like. Yeah. We know that Alberta is going to allow the NHL teams to play.
Well, the World Juniors are set to drop the puck later on this week, and they've been determined to get that, and for all the speed bumps that they've had to deal with that, and they're ready to go on Boxing Day. Ian McIntyre here with us on Sportsnet 650. You know, we've got a little sense of what things look like to a degree. We haven't got the full schedule just yet, but you know, we know the trade deadline's April 12th, the date for teams to submit protected lists is July 17th, the expansion draft for the Seattle Kraken July 21st, free agency will be July 28th. But with this season coming up, we know that there's an all-Canadian division here, Ian. We're going to get a Canadian team in the Final Four, so I think that'll continue to keep the interest here, at least on this side of the border. But I guess the tragedy is that, you know, six of the seven Canadian teams, I think, all probably have a sense that they are a legitimate Stanley Cup playoff contender, and two of those teams are going to be on the outside looking in. And I've kind of, you know, we've talked about this earlier this morning, that kind of ruled Ottawa out of the fold, but I mean, there's a lot. Like, I think you could make a case for pretty much six of the seven teams here in this Canadian division that they've got hopes and aspirations of a Stanley Cup.
You know, there's so many great things about this Canadian division, which, if you imagine were this 2019 and you said, okay, you're going to have 56 games against Canadian teams, how excited everyone would be, because these are the games that people want to watch all the time anyways. I mean, yeah, it Canucks, you know, playing Chicago and Vegas and San Jose, you know, these are always, these have become rivalries that sort of ebb and flow from year to year. But every year, people are excited when Toronto comes. Every year when Montreal comes. And there's always, no matter how good or bad the teams have been historically, there's always a little bit of a undertow to the games when you're playing the Alberta teams. So under different circumstances, it would be fabulous, or even more fabulous, because I think it's going to be great. I think these games, if we get to them, people are going to love them. The players are going to love playing them, even though they're in a vacuum. But one of the things that make this so appealing additionally, other than just the Canadian rivalries, is the parity that there is right now among the teams. And a few years ago, the parity was that so many of them were just bad. Now they're good. Now they're not great teams, but again, that's fine. That adds to the competition and makes it even more compelling. I mean, if you listed the top five teams in the NHL, there isn't a Canadian team among them. But as you say, they're all solid. They're all competitive, you know. And would they be? How many would be playoff teams under regular circumstances? If they were in different divisions, well, you could have six playoff teams. You know, Toronto is probably the best, or should be, and then it's tough to pick after that. I mean, most projections I've seen have the Canucks towards the bottom, because they took a slight step back with the guys they lost in free agency versus the guys they've added. But it's awfully hard to pick between Vancouver and Calgary and Edmonton and Winnipeg. So I think it's going to be terrific. I think it's going to be close, and it is going to be exciting. When the pandemic began, if you'd laid out the scenario for the playoffs that they ran, I'd have said, well, maybe they can't pull that off. And if they do, it's not going to be the same. And it was great hockey, and it was great viewing. And I'd say the same thing. I'd have said the same thing then about this type of scenario, that you have a partially open NHL and the Canadian teams are forced to play against each other. I wouldn't have thought that would happen, but now that it looks like it's going to, I think it's going to be terrific. I think it's going to be memorable, and not just because of the terrible circumstances that are forcing it. I think this is going to be something that Canadian hockey fans will remember a long time, the All-Canadian
Division. Oh, I'm excited, man. This was a weekend,
yeah,
like,
no
honestly,
doubt.
Between the Mandalorian finale on the weekend, Ian, and, like, this news over the last 24 hours, like, like 2020, we've been waiting, what, 350-plus days for some good news, and I think we finally got some over the weekend here. Legitimately meaningful games. And, you know, Per, like, you've obviously covered the National Hockey League for a long time. Ian, you've been around it for, what, close to 30 years as well. You know, we all hit those dog days of winter, the January blahs, and whether it was the days of the Atlanta Thrashers rolling into town or the Blue Jackets or whatever that looked like. And you go, I mean, look, we've been very lucky to have jobs in terms of getting paid to cover hockey games and sporting events for years. But, man, you get those days where it still becomes a job and it's down. Man, all these games, the way this schedule shapes up, a game every other night against a team that you legitimately want to kick their asses. Like, you couldn't ask for any better return, I think, here.
Yeah, I agree with you. And on top of that, if you look at the makeup of these teams, so many of the great young players in this league, and there's a lot of them. This is a golden era now for the NHL with the amount of talent and the excitement level from team to team. The guys who are difference makers and people that you want to see play, whether he's on your team or not, the Canadian teams all have those guys. And that's another part of this anticipation, I think, is not only do you get to see the Maple Leafs, you get to see the Maple Leafs with Mitch Marner and Matthews and Tavares and Nylander. You get to see Edmonton with McDavid and Dreisaitl. You get to see Calgary, and Calgary was maybe a little bit of an exception, although Matthew Tkachuk is a great young player. But now you get to see Calgary with Jacob Markstrom and Chris Tanev and the Canucks alumni, and Winnipeg have the forwards, and Montreal has done as much as any team in the NHL this offseason to improve and are always, again, exciting to watch because of who they are. Yeah, I can't wait, and I just hope that there's some pragmatism out here in BC, and that if the rest of Canada is playing, that the Canucks are playing as well. And again, not just because I want to see 28 home games for Vancouver in this once. This may be the only time in our life we see this either, an all Canadian division. But because it's safe to do so, and that, you know, it makes sense to me, and I hope that we end up seeing 28 games at Rogers Arena, even if they're just on TV, and those of us who cover the team are well separated from the players, but inside the building.
Well, I think one thing we can all agree on, guys, is at some point when we have a normal, when you don't have to be a couple meters away from a buddy having a beer, we will look back and go, oh my God, wouldn't that be great to have that 2021 format again right now? Because it'll be February, it'll be game 42 of 82, and you go, man, that sprint was crazy. And we will be. There's just going to be so many storylines, so much is going to be asked of these players. Injuries will be massive. Getting on a run will be massive. 13 days into the new year is going to be a pretty good start. Thank you, IMAC. Happy holidays to you and yours.
Well, and to you, fellas. It is as we've all leave 2020 with a lot more perspective on, we should, on than when it began. And I think we're all grateful to be able to do what we do and be as safe as we've been. And my best wishes to everybody out there. And thank you for listening.